Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
So yeah, dude, I simped hard for WCW. I was the biggest Goldberg mark of all time. Well, there were a lot of us, let's be honest.
Yes, there were dozens of you.
No, way more than dozens, man. That dude was one of the biggest stars on the planet in the wrestling world for a little bit. For a brief moment.
For like a year and a half, he was the biggest thing in the world. But inevitably, like almost anything else that had a good thing going, they couldn't help but really hinder whatever was making it popular.
Well, of course. It's
but
WCW,
also, as a kid, man, okay, was there a point where you just realized this show's not very good anymore?
WCW?
Yeah.
Honestly.
As a kid?
Yeah, kind of. I think it maybe was for a lot of people. I do remember this night very vividly, though, when WCW, in an effort to keep people from turning away, told everybody that Mankind was going to win the championship that night. And I liked Mankind as a character, like, because I was in that age, like, and this was corporate Mankind, so he wasn't, like, the creepo. He was funny and, like, just the awkward guy. So I was really into Mankind. And so me and my buddy were like, whoa, really? Let's go check that out. And same. And then, like, that's, like, when it really started to pop off. And, like, I don't know, just, dude, how many times can you see fucking Disco Inferno and think shit's serious, you know? That dude was at the company for fucking 10 years.
Dude, like, that and, man, they had such a weird cast. Like, Disco Inferno, Prince Iaukea.
Yeah.
Like, none there of those was guys this whole period in time where, like, you had the Kiss Demon. And I thought, I was like, oh, man, that guy's sick. He's just, like, bleeding everywhere. But also, it was, like, bad. Like, he wasn't good. And it just felt, I don't know. I think, like, late 90s, late 99 through, like, the end of 2000 is definitely a period where my dad slowed down watching, which WCW? I think was like a telltale sign for me. Like, like he stopped ordering the pay-per-views and like, I guess.
I remember a lot vividly about like when pretty much just everybody in the company is in the NWO or some offshoot of the NWO. I remember even as a kid being like, what is the point? Everybody's in it.
But the like the worst part was, okay, so there's that. But me being a kid and like you just realize that it's not just everybody in the company. It's like all of the fucking losers.
Yeah, of course. Like, who's that one?
All of them.
It's not Taz, because Taz is cool, but he's a small, bald guy that's in, like...
Conan?
Conan, dude, sucks. And he's in the fucking wolf pack for years.
Oh,
for fucking
man.
Years. With his little fucking gloves, and he sucks.
Man, one out of the seven people that listen to us is going to be super offended that you just said Conan sucked.
Is it Zeus?
I
don't know who would.
I mean, wasn't he part of the Rascals with no, not the Rascals. Yeah, was it the Rascals with Mysterio when he didn't have his mask? Oh,
something like that, because I did lose it. I remember that was another thing that I did like about WCW over WWF is that they had all the luchadors. And I really liked them because they were fun as hell to watch.
Hell yeah, dude.
I think that's the best part about WWF absorbing WCW is that they got all the luchadors.
Yeah, most of them at least. Yeah. I really appreciate that time of WCW and like my age while watching it because like, while I really enjoy listening to books that really detail everything that went wrong with WCW, most of it's stuff that I never realized or really picked up on because I was just a kid watching and be like, oh, this is dope. Oh, man, these high flyers, that is awesome. Like, I'm not really picking up on the politicking and realizing, like, those guys really have a glass ceiling. They're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, they're mid-carders.
This is the real show right here.
Yeah.
Like, my eyes weren't open to that at that point. So I can just still look back with such these rose-tinted glasses. But also, enjoy the fuck out of all of these books and pods or whatever.
My favorite guys were always the mid-carders. I didn't understand it. I was like, why don't they get a shot at the belt?
Right? Why does this 5 foot six guy not take on that 6 foot 11 guy and take his belt away?
Yeah. As a kid, I didn't understand that I love Road Dogg because he's fantastic on the mic, because he sucks ass in the ring. I didn't like the dude for his wrestling.
No, he's entertaining as hell.
Yeah, but I mean, that,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
God damn it. Children, I like to watch the pop compilation of that. Mm-hmm. And the pop compilation of fucking the Stone Cold theme.
Oh my God.
I consider myself on the fringes of wrestling dorkdom. That gives me fucking goosebumps, dude.
Mm-hmm.
When that shit pops and everybody just goes,
yeah. Dude, just finding some of just compilations of the biggest pops of whatever. Mm-hmm. And just, there's nothing like it. Especially if you like, you've been to a show and you just like, you know how freaking awesome that must have been, but also you're super jealous that you weren't there for that.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's funny to me, it's very Pavlovian dog almost, because like, the second these things hit, everybody recognizes it and they all have the same responses. And it's like, it's almost, it's trained into people, especially at those events, and people that have never gone, when you go, like, you pick up pretty quick, like, what's going on. But I think, I mean, I guess even still, when you see it on TV, you still hear people pop. I don't know. It's nuts to me, man. It's a monumental force that I'm only now coming to sort of understand. Wild stuff.
Yeah. Well, that was a long roundabout way for me to getting to me saying, happy birthday, dude.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Not like dating this episode or whatever, but it's your birth week, man. How was your birthday?
It was fine enough.
Hell yeah.
I spent it doing getting a pitch to get my windows replaced. And I was kind of leaning heavy towards it. And now, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do it. I'm having reservations. So,
is it like one of those things that they're selling you on the fact that they have like better insulation? Of course.
Everybody's always got better windows. And like, I do know that like the house needs them at some point. But that's kind of where I've been at the last couple of days. It's like, it's not really a need. And it's a want that at this stage, while I could afford, it would drain a large amount of my savings. And I don't know. I started thinking on that and it was stressing me out because I kind of like the safety net that I have and I didn't want to give any of that up. So, and this is 40, by the way, everybody. This is what you fucking think about.
I mean, a fantastic way of looking at it is it's not going to really get that much more expensive over time, right? So, like, if you were to get them now and drain that safety net, whatever, you're going to stress. Whereas if you keep that safety net for X amount of time and you actually need to replace your windows, it's going to be pretty much the same price. Mm-hmm. And you can just get it done then, right?
It's a, it's a want, not a need. What I need, Sean, is more free time so I can play more fucking Monster Hunter, dog.
Yeah?
It finally clicked. And it's got the hooks in.
Really?
Dog.
You're sucked in?
Oh, I fucking love it. I want to play it all the time. I watch shit on YouTube about it now a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dog.
Does that run on the Steam Deck?
It does, and it's hilarious because I've been playing on PlayStation, not knowing that I had it on PC because I have it on physically for PlayStation. So I was like, oh yeah, I want to play Monster Hunter. So I just installed it on that. And I was a good chunk of the way through it before I realized that it's one of the games that's listed as recommended to play on the Steam Deck on that store if you own it.
Damn.
And like, fuck. And I was like, number one, fuck, I own it on PC. I could have been playing it there. And two, shit, I'm still going to keep playing on PlayStation. Because as much as I'm loving this game and sucking it off, it breaks the number one cardinal fucking rule that you and I both have for games, Sean. What is it?
Open world.
Nah. Although Wilds is going that way. But I'm excited about it. No, it's got unskippable cutscenes, my friend.
Oh, fuck that, man.
Unskippable cutscenes. And
it's
I was like,
unskippable?
Well, unskippable. And some of them are multiple minutes long and poorly acted. And
yeah, but this is
fuck.
On Steam. You can probably just like skip them.
I can too, I'm sure.
And I just looked it up. It runs at a pretty solid 60 frames per second and sometimes drops to like 55 on the Steam Deck.
Okay. Nice.
Just saying.
I'd like to put it on the PC too. I definitely will be getting Wilds on the PC.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. Depending on when that comes out and how much time I have, I will definitely probably be getting that.
I unfortunately did not play Rise, which is the one that came out after World.
That was the one on the Switch. That was super freaking good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wanted to see if they had improved the joinability, the friendship ability, because that is one of the big complaints with World, is that it's a little obtuse to join a game with your friends.
It's super easy.
It is in Rise? Okay. Yeah. So hopefully, World keeps with that. It'd also be cool if you can just jump in your friend's game when they're online. I don't know. I haven't looked into it that deeply. Anyways.
Oh, shit.
Monster Hunter's
Monster
tight,
Hunter
y'all.
World's only... It's $20 off in the next 10 days.
On what? Steam?
Yeah.
There you go, everybody. There's
God
your...
damn it.
There's your kick in the pants. Here's what switched
Rise,
me around. So
$10.
Let me come out and say this. Is that I turned the corner this time because I started playing with the bow and arrow, which now makes it play much more like a third-person shooter. And the bow is not a heavy weapon, so you do, even with it drawn, you move much quicker. You can dodge out of the way of animal attacks. So it's much more like what I'm used to playing, and it feels a lot... I was able to fall into the rhythm... And now it's clicking. And now I do want to try other weapons because I've beaten story mode. And I went to like the high level.
I can't use
now.
Heavy weapons in that game.
I wanted to try the longsword, which is not a heavy, heavy weapon. It's like the giant katana.
Mm-hmm. I like the twin blades.
The twin blades I hear, you can move fast with those too.
Yeah.
So, but it's been a lot of fun, man.
That is super sick. I say I might hop into that, but
I think you should just wait for World.
What's that?
Or do you have Rise, you said?
Yeah, I have Rise on
I would
Switch.
Maybe be more tempted to pick that up and try it out if you just wanted to stick with that.
No, I mean, dude, I would pick that up on, because my Joy-Cons are busted.
Oh, yeah, yours always bust.
But... Monster Hunter Rise is only $10 for the next 10 days as well. So I would probably pick that up. And that's normally $40.
Okay.
So, or it's $20 for Rise with the DLC, which I never played.
I might do it because I want to get Iceborne. I don't have Iceborne yet. I haven't done it.
Oh, man. I would do Rise. I would do Rise because then I'd play it on the Steam Deck.
Okay.
Wait, so,
Rise is... I get you.
So, in the last week, since we recorded, on Sunday, I was like, Sarah was asleep. I was in the, I was on like the sun porch, just kind of watching TV. I had the PlayStation controller in my hand. I'm like, man, there's just nothing I want to play. You know, when you get that feeling where you just have 200 games on the PlayStation and you don't want to play any of them. Mm-hmm. You find like five and you're like, okay, I'll re-download you. But by the time it re-downloads, you don't even want to play it. All I wanted to do was play Animal Crossing.
I saw your picture.
So I've been playing every single day since Sunday.
Nice, dude.
I have played Animal Crossing. It has been fantastic to check into. Into it and really loving it again. It had been 2 years and 9 months
since I last
jumped into my town, and they all made sure to remind me how fucking long it's been.
Yeah.
And then Gale immediately left, and I was like, bye-bye. Get the fuck out of here, you creepy little alligator.
I was going to ask, is Bill still there?
Fuck yeah, Bill's still there.
That's right. Yeah. Listeners, in case you forgot, Sean and I got our start together hosting an Animal Crossing podcast together.
Called Animal Talking, which Danny Trejo also jacked the name of that when he did a little podcast.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Okay. It was our family-friendly, no swearing allowed.
We did not swear.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was a fun experiment.
They're like 10 to 20 minute long episodes. And yeah, that show ruled. But yeah, Bill's still there. Mint is still there. It's fantastic. And I think I might be getting into Trackmania because I've just been only listening to and watching YouTube videos on that for the last 3 days. I've
watched so many. Have you watched, what is the W guy's name?
That's who I've been watching.
What's his name?
It's
like, I want to say Wario.
I was about to say Wario. That is not his name.
It's something like that, though.
Where is my history? His name is Virtual.
Virtual. That's right. That dude's awesome.
Yeah,
his videos fucking rule, man.
Yeah. This
is so hilarious. Through osmosis, we've just been watching similar stuff.
Yep. So I'm probably going to be getting into that, which will be my obsession for about a week.
Yeah, there you go. I've never taken the dive to get the game because I recognize, like, don't get it, you will not play it. And I was like, just watch Virtual. And I've done that. Mm-hmm. I've stayed true to that.
Hmm.
Try it, Shawnee.
There's a free one. I added it to my library.
I know. I haven't touched it for a reason, bro.
I also have it on the PlayStation.
Trackmania?
Yeah. It was free, 2 years ago.
One of those, yeah.
I think I booted it up, and I'm like, this game sucks.
Uh-huh.
But it really doesn't. I think I just played somebody's shitty level.
Probably that, too. People suck.
Okay. Hey, so, Rise. I'm getting Rise.
On what?
Steam.
It's on Steam, too? I thought you said it was on Switch.
I have it on Switch, but it's...
Oh, but it's multi... Ah! Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So it came out on Steam like a year later.
Oh.
And that's where it's $9. It's $10 instead of $40 right now.
Okay.
Or with the DLC, it's $20.
Okay. Cool. Well, then I'll
big
pick it up
sale
on Steam
right now.
Yeah. Nice. That is fucking dope. I did not know that. Thanks for clarifying.
You are welcome.
I wanted to say, as a segue real quick before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, just another reminder, I've been supposed to doing this for a couple weeks. I am doing a charity stream tomorrow by the time this comes out, the 16th of August. I have put it out there a little bit. We're doing it on Twitch again. It's for the Cast for Kids Foundation, which is a foundation that takes special needs kids out for a day at the lake catching fish. I also volunteered at the event after doing this fundraiser last year. It rained all day. It was miserable. And the kids still had a fucking awesome time. So
that's great.
Doing it again this year. Would really appreciate if you guys can stop by. Say hi, cool. Much more recommend just please kick like $5 to the kids, man. Goes a long way. Helps out kids. Gets them a tackle box, their own fishing pole, lunch. Their parents get to hang out, see their kids, have a good time.
What's
awesome,
the Twitch?
Man. The page is Cast for Kids / Lake Wheeler, I believe.
Is that where you're going to be streaming out of?
Oh, no. The stream will just be out of Twitch. Yeah, sorry. I thought you said, what's the pitch?
No, what's the Twitch for people who might not be familiar with where you're going to be streaming from, Kyle?
You're very good at this, Sean. I'm a bit rusty. I'm pitching the old Twitch channel. Twitch.tv/experiencegrind. Yes, come check it out Saturday starting at noon EST on the dot, maybe going for 8 hours. Last year we did fishing games, and that was awful. We hated it, so this year we're just doing a lot of side-scrolling beat-em-ups. Much more fun.
When you messaged us that either this morning or yesterday morning, you said you were doing a stream, and I was like, oh man, I wonder if it's the fishing one again, that fishing thing. Mm-hmm. Then you said you were doing like side-scrolling beat-em-ups and this and that, and I was like, maybe not?
No, the fishing games just suck, man. Mm. There's a reason they sell like 200 copies.
Woof.
Who buys fishing games?
Who even buys them?
I tell you who wouldn't buy one.
Who?
Mimisiku.
Mimisiku definitely wouldn't. He might gift a fish a pot.
Yeah, or he might just roast them.
That's, oh man. Ugh, cringe. Real quick question.
Yo.
What is your Steam account that's linked to the Steam Deck just your pornos?
Uh-huh.
Sick. Okay. Thank you.
You turd.
No reason at all.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Okay, bastard, back to what you were saying. Sorry, I was, man, that little segue, I'm sure that you had a nice little segue, but I wasn't listening paying attention at all for reasons.
That's good. Tight. It was hilarious. The audience is still laughing in their cars.
You were that funny?
Mm-hmm. It was good stuff, man.
Man, dude.
I'm glad you get to edit this one because you can listen to it over and over.
I'm not going to listen to it at all.
The editing amount in this show is minuscule at worst.
It's going to stay that way.
That's great. Yeah, it is. It is going to stay that way for a long time. But Brian, I mean, Sean, Mimisiku, for sure.
Mimisiku. Man, Kyle, jungle to jungle. I think I mentioned this earlier this month with Man of the House. I also saw this movie in theaters.
I also saw this in theaters, too. Having thought back watching it, I remembered it. It was one that my sister won out and got to pick the movie. And we had to go because I wasn't quite old enough to stay home alone. And my mom, so she had to, and it was just for a movie. So, you know, it's just for an afternoon. So mm-hmm. I had to go. I do remember seeing this movie in theaters. Yep. And later on at home a couple times, too.
I'm sure all due to your sister. I was going to say, if you did see this in theaters, it had to have been because of her.
Mm-hmm. 100%. But I also did like Tim Allen. I think this was this pre-Santa Claus?
This movie came out in 1997, do not think so.
Yeah, Santa Claus was before this then.
Yeah, I think Santa Claus was, 95 or 96?
I think it was even earlier. I want to say 94, to be honest with you.
Really? It was 1994.
Yeah, I knew it was an early one. So that's when Disney started to realize, oh, Tim Allen's sort of a cash cow, and he'll do anything we tell him to.
Basically.
Also, it is funny, I don't think I planned it this way, but both my choices were Home Improvement characters.
Yeah.
That are also in Disney movies, so...
Yeah, I hope Al Borland is in one of the remaining ones.
Oh, that would be tight.
What did we pick for the fifth week?
We had discussed Homeward Bound, but I'm flexible.
Oh, okay. Cool. I forgot about that.
I told Mandy Homeward Bound, and she got real sad, and I was like, what? They all live at the end. What can you be sad about?
They get back with their family. It's not about the end, Kyle. It's about the adventure.
It's a badass movie. Plus, it's Michael J. Fox, man. It's Chance. I love MJ Fox.
Man. Yeah. Well, okay. So Disney realized that they could get Tim Allen to do anything that they wanted. Unfortunately, as we've discussed over the last couple of weeks and at the tail end of last week, if you guys listened far enough, This movie, all of, I mean, he will do anything for a price.
Yeah. He also does, I mean, to me this felt like
$2 million.
That's how much they paid him for this movie?
No, that was the budget on this movie.
Oh, but I bet you a large chunk of that was fucking Tim Allen.
100%. I mean, yeah. You've got Tim Allen. It's not like Martin Short is commanding a huge salary. Like, who's...
At this time, no.
Yeah.
It's still great to, like, see him in this.
It's a little late, I think, to be paying that much. It's weird. With Martin Short, I think it's a little too late in his career to be spending that much money on him. But also simultaneously, too early in his career, because I'm sure at this point he's making fucking buco bucks for Only Murders in the Building.
I'm sure he's doing pretty well.
But, like, I mean, I can't imagine he was commanding that much in the late 90s.
I would be curious to see the salary breakdown to this film.
Yeah.
Who commanded
what
more?
I mean, what else is in here? This was the Sam Huntington introducing role, you know, as seen in credits. Introducing him.
Was he, I mean,
who else is in here? Lily Sobieski, she was 14.
Yeah. But was he Mimi Siku?
Who? Sam Huntington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was also, I always remember him as fucking, like we talked about too, Jam from Detroit Rock City.
I've never seen that, so.
Oh my God. That's wild. That was the very first DVD I ever bought.
Wow.
And that here's another fitting one. Later. I saw that movie because a girl I was kind of dating worked at the other movie theater in town before I worked there, and she took me to see it for my 13th birthday.
Hey!
Or maybe 14th, or maybe 15th. But, because they were playing that movie, so she took me to the staff viewing that night at, like, midnight.
That was 1999, so...
Yeah. So I was 13, 14, around there.
Okay.
Huh. So yeah, wild shit.
Well, that's interesting. So, yeah, Mimi Siku, Tim Allen, Martin Short, Sam Huntington. This movie was a trip, kind of a trip to go back to. And I don't know if that's in all of the best ways or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you've seen this, even if you saw it 20 years ago, you know all the story beats of it.
It doesn't break ground in that regard. I'll give you that for sure. What was
I think the most shocking thing for me about this movie was the hour and 45 minute runtime on it.
Uh-huh.
Like, holy Jesus, this movie went on.
Yeah, we can get into that in a bit. I remember what I was. Fuck, I just lost it again. No!
God damn it.
I know.
Kyle!
It's coming back around because it was him doing the thing.
Doing the thing? Who? The thing. Tim Allen?
No, not
Michael
Tim Allen.
With the C.
Michael with the C.
Michael with the C.
Fuck.
Martin
man.
Short. Mimi Siku.
Yeah, it was him.
The spider.
No.
Maitika. Were they on the island?
Oh,
the indigenous peoples.
Oh, it has again the trope. So far, every movie's had it. What does this movie have? Parents
Parental.
Split up. Divorce. Bada boom, bada boom. Staple.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. In this movie, they're not even divorced.
Not yet, but
that's the whole
like,
crux
base.
Of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
is he lives in New York City. He is a stock trader. Not really a stock trader, I guess. He a futures trader.
Yes, yes. Still, and, he's on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. It's wild and wacky.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on. I've never understood what's going on there. Like.
I saw a YouTube video chaos. Explaining it once, and they're like, yeah, computers do this much better and faster now. Like, they don't even do that shit anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of dated stuff in this movie. Yeah. I would like to, like, just go through later and point out all the weird old stuff that we both noticed. Because it's not very often that, like, so many things stand out as, like... Holy shit, that is a product of that time and that place.
Mm-hmm.
But
like,
damn.
The white savior complex of the native tribe of made up place.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got the nice white lady doctor who's there to save them because they're dumb natives, you know. But then they've got the funny white guy who comes to be silly because, you know.
Tim Allen, you know.
Yeah. It's wildly, at this point, like a lot of it is, I would say, at least culturally weird.
Yeah.
Because, and here's the thing, I might be offensive. Is that an actual tribe? Surely not. That's something made up for this movie.
I have no idea. I had to look up to see.
Somebody had at least the intelligence to make up at least a generic South Indian / Asian tribe so as to hopefully not offend anyone.
It was Venezuela.
Venezuela, so South American.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I see you were paying about as much close of attention as I was. There's a point where somebody was like, I'm going to send you back to the Amazon. And I'm like, man, I don't know if she's just being ignorant and offensive or if I just wasn't paying attention.
Well, I guess maybe I'm
also... actually the second one.
Maybe I'm ignorant because I guess I forgot that the Amazon is in South America. Because I knew they were in the Amazon because I remember a couple... like at the end when... Mili Sobieski shows up and then they both are like swimming in the fucking banks of the Amazon. I was like, you would never ever fucking do that.
No.
Never in a million years would you. No, don't. Get the fuck out of the Amazon. Everything in that wants to kill you.
Wants to eat you. They're tiny and wants to shred the skin from your bone just in ribbons.
I'm pretty sure the Amazon is where the fish that swims up your pee hole lives.
I mean... okay. Would you rather for later in the show remind me of that or piranhas?
Yeah. I know immediately piranhas. Fucking calling it. I do not. Oh, things in the pee hole. No. No, you can't. Ah.
Oh, man. This movie, I think, came out at like the prime time. I think I mentioned it when we covered Piranha, how much I loved piranhas and was obsessed with them as a kid.
Yeah.
But watching this in theaters, it was like right at the peak of when I loved piranhas for some weird ass reason. 10 years old, I'm like, oh, yeah, these fish eat people.
I love when it bites Tim Allen on the thumb and he does the classic. Yeah. Ah! Yeah. I don't know. He's got a good fucking scared yet in pain face.
Yeah.
He's a great comedic actor. It sucks that he's such a shitheel of a person. That's why I can so easily hate Kevin Sorbo, because he also just sucks at everything else, too, on top of it. Tim Allen is at least fucking funny and entertaining.
I mean, Kevin Sorbo wasn't even that... like, I watched Hercules as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to my grandma's and, like...
I always thought Hercules sucked.
Well, I was going to say, I also realized the show was terrible, and, like, anyone with muscles could have played that role.
Yeah.
You know, so
much better.
Congrats.
Better. I did like Xena, though. No lie. I loved the Xena show.
Dude, Warrior Princess with like fucking that.
Rule.
Like the fucking ring blade, boomerang.
The blade frisbee thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Freaking dope.
She did that fucking war cry every time.
Talk about right place, right time for that guy, you know? Anyways, so as we're talking parental strife.
Yeah.
Turns out. Michael with a C is going to be getting married in like a month. But the problem is he's not even divorced from his wife that left him 13 years ago.
Weird. 13 years, Sean. I wonder 13. Why she ran away 13 years ago.
I don't know, but she had a kid. It's probably his.
Whoa! It's
the only white kid on the island. So, like, oh. Not one of theirs.
It is weird, like, when they make the kids speak a semi-broken English.
What do you mean?
Like,
Mimisiku?
Yeah, like, when he's in New York, he talks like he doesn't understand English, even though, like, theoretically, he still...
clearly does.
Yeah, but, like, it's still, like, that weird, stilted, broken style.
Mm.
He's always like, Mimisiku, love. Planet, like, you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah,
it's not like
I don't know how to like I guess I didn't think that much of it.
I'm nitpicking.
Because...
I'm getting...
What?
I said I'm nitpicking, I'm sure, probably, but...
Well, I don't even think it's nitpicking. I think it's a matter of, like, how you think about it. Like, to me, it didn't really seem weird. I know that he knew English, like, relatively fluently, but he's also in a place where the way that people communicate is probably different. So that's probably the communication that's ingrained in him instead of his natural flow, because how often was he actually speaking English?
Yeah, fair enough, too.
God damn it, Kyle.
Get out of my logic. I'm just saying in my head, he still lives with his fucking mom who still speaks perfect English the whole time. And like, you figured it would be like, I don't know, there's a great bit. What's her fucking face that's married to John Krasinski? Kate.
I know who you're talking about.
But like, she's fucking English and he's from Boston. And she tells a couple stories about her fucking... kids, because like for a long time her daughter took up her accent of posh England, and then like for some whatever reason, maybe she said it was like a rebellious thing when she had her preteen, she started talking and more American, and she would say things like water, and like I don't know, just kids learn shit like that. I'm again, why am I fucking focused on this stupid part of the movie? What does Mimi Seeker do next?
So, Michael with a C goes down there. This is after, for some reason, he spends a shitload of money on coffee futures.
Yeah.
And Martin Short is having a fucking meltdown. Whatever his name is. I think it's Richard. Yeah, it's Richard. With a C. Yep. Big Dickie. Big Dickie's having a meltdown this whole time. He's like, I'm going to lose my house. I got a mortgage to pay. What are we going to do with all this fucking coffee? And Michael with a C goes, I'm out of here. I got to go get a divorce. He ends up on an island with half an arm because piranhas ate it in the Amazon. He's stranded there because the guy leaves on his little boat, right?
Uh-huh.
Sits there. He sees coffee's at an all-time high. He's like, got to sell. But he never confirms. Never confirms. They'll become
important later. And 20 years of working together, it's always been sell. Yes, confirm. Yes.
Exactly. So you get it? Confirm. We've been doing this for 2 minutes. And we got this better than they did. Insane. Insane.
Now, I was going to say, though, Martin Short, perfectly cast as the fucking spastic best friend.
He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was like the most... It was like the straightest I've seen Martin Short in literally anything.
Yeah.
And I think it worked really well for him because
straightest as in straight man, not.
I mean, he was like the least slapsticky of everybody in this movie. So anyways, Patricia, Michael with a C's wife, decides right then and there is a good time to be like, yo, see that kid over there? That's your boy.
And, I did like the part where she told him, but he was too focused and he didn't hear her the first time.
Yes. Nice. All right. 96, touch. 90, 90, 92. Hold. All right. Sell. What did she say? Well, over the next couple of days, while waiting for the boat guy to come back, he bonds a little bit with Mimi Seeker, which I think I'll get this. I'll get through this really quick. Sam Huntington killed it as Mimi Seeker. And also, if that was a wig, that was a boss-ass wig. If that was actual hair, that was a killer head of hair.
I think it was his real hair at that point.
That was a banging head of hair. Like, not trying to be weird because dude's a kid, but like...
Yeah, good locks, man.
Them were some good locks.
I liked his little leather headband thing. That was cool.
Yeah, the leather headband the and then like the red paint across his eyes through like only... 82% of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, they bond a little bit. The scene where Michael with C figures out that Mimi Seeker can actually speak English was kind of funny.
That was funny. Also, we talked about this a lot, especially in these Disney movies. Quite a fair amount of like a little bit risque, racy jokes. There's the dude with the giant dick at the village.
Yes. Captain Well Endowed or...
Yeah. That's how he wants to be. He's like, they're like, he's already is that name's already taken, and they cut, and it's a dude with like a loincloth that's hanging down to the floor.
Yeah, because everybody, like, everybody on this island gets to pick their own name.
Uh huh.
What's Mimisiku mean? Like cat piss cat or something? Piss.
Yeah, yeah, cat piss.
So he ends up, Michael with a C ends up being called Baboon for the rest of the movie. Kind of funny. Unfortunately for Michael with a C, you know, in bonding with Mimisiku, he says he's from New York, and he goes, oh, yes, the one with the lady whose torch is up the sky's ass or whatever, promises to take Mimisiku to New York City when he becomes an adult. Well, unfortunately for him, for some reason, he becomes an adult like the very next day on his like 13th birthday, which is weird. When he grabs a glowing ember, he's like,
that was also, and like, this didn't have pain or a giant blister?
Nah.
It's also like Mimisiku, all the people in the movies that cut the palm of their hand. Bullshit.
I ain't doing that.
Bullshit. Dude, you ruined that hand.
Man, okay, if I'm ever in a spot where I'm with a group of friends and they go, yo, we need to take a blood oath, and somebody like breaks a bottle and goes to cut their hand, I'm stopping them. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
No.
Not at all. It's like, dude, all right, good luck, guys, with the assassination or whatever you're doing. I'm out of here.
I remember when I first saw it. When I was little, and they do it like at the end of the movie and cut their palms and stuff. No. How about we do that version from all the other movies where you just spit in your hands and shake hands or something? Like, that's gross too, but
even like, that's like,
why are we doing that?
Can't we fist bump, bro?
We're bros. Like, if it's got to be something more than fist bumps, like, I'll touch tips or something.
You can put your spider on my shoulder.
Yeah, so they go back to New York City because promises and blah, blah, blah. And Charlotte, who's the fiance, not a huge fan of him. I was not paying close enough attention to even know what her deal was, but they have like...
Her deal was pretty much in this movie, be the bitch.
Yeah, but like, what's her deal? Why is everything being turned into a documentary?
Because she's an artist and that guy makes films. This was like pre-reality TV before it really popped off, which is wild to think about. Because like, you had The Real World and Road Rules, but that was kind of really
That was
really
years
it.
Later.
What? No, Real World happened in like 92.
Really? Never
oh,
mind.
Yeah,
then.
Real World has been around for a long time, dog.
Hmm. I didn't
Road
think
Rules
that
was a little
like
later,
2000s.
But nah, that's when you got into like the Real World Road Rules Challenge shit, because both those shows had lost steam, so.
Hmm, okay. Well, from here, you have all of your typical hijinks that you would imagine of a kid who's grown up in a tribe, being in New York City. He's walking around in a loincloth. He's got his little blow gun, and he's got a pet tarantula. So think of all of the different situations. A pet tarantula that is calm when you're calm, but tries to chase you down and attack you when people are yelling. Yeah. Now, this is a movie where people are constantly getting upset, or his partners are yelling at him in meetings. So,
That was a pretty good one when he lets it go and his boss is yelling at him and he's trying to...
He starts yelling to draw it out of the room.
It was good stuff. Again, funny stuff. I really liked all the Tim Allen stuff with the blowgun. They did a lot of good stuff with that. When he shoots himself in the foot and then passes out like hunched over himself, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then when he gets good with it later, I thought it was a nice, sweet, cute touch at the end when he nails the fly on his boss and then like... The first thing he wants to do is take it and show his son. So he just goes down. That was great stuff.
Oh, man. Okay. We had very different opinions on that.
Really? I thought it was 100%. Nice.
Yeah. This guy. Okay. So he just went through this whole thing of putting everybody that he knows in danger. Because, okay. He gets back. You got Captain Dickie Richard over here who's freaking out because now coffee's worth next to nothing. Who then they go and try to like sell it to some shady underground Russian mobster who's going to offer a lot of money.
$1 million.
And this turns into a pretty bad deal for the mobster.
Because it goes even lower.
He doesn't
lower.
Understand how futures work.
Yeah.
And so now he's out to get them. But through everything that's going on, Mimisiku saves the day, Blowgun, blah-de, blah-de, blah. He's taken care of. They still have all of the futures. And by the end of the movie, coffee's worth a fortune.
Mm-hmm. And he's seen as the great genius.
In that scene where, like, this should be a big relief, they are in the most crowded room I've ever seen of people just being frantic. Mm-hmm. This guy pulls out a blowgun.
Sure, yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
It was also, you know, wild to think about so much of this because, of course, we talked about things that stick out. We should run through those because one of the big ones, of course, is the World Trade Center towers are featured pretty prominently in this movie. Tim Allen's character works in them, one of them. And so, yeah, it's wild because this is a pre-9/11 movie. So, like, also Mimisiku flies with his bow and arrow on the plane. Like,
there absolutely is a not lot. Happening.
Yeah.
So there is so much stuff that happened. Like, even just anything that's happening in the airport, any airport scene in this movie, it's a no-go now. It's not happening. Whether it be them waiting together. Like, dude, it's so weird to watch a movie like this and think, wow, you used to be able to just wait at the gate with somebody while they're waiting for their flight. Or like that time back in like 1996 when I flew to Kentucky and I was just sitting there with my blow dart. It like... I can't get away with that now.
No, you can't, man.
Going in there just flicking on lighters and stuff right in the terminal.
Yeah, but you couldn't smoke in them airplanes. But you used to be able to, isn't that crazy? What a wild time.
Yeah. Okay, you can't smoke in an airplane now. I mean, you used to be able to smoke in an airplane, right? But now they're like, if you use your cell phone, the plane's going down. All right, sure.
Is my pilot Fat Albert?
I hope not. Jesus Christ.
No, it sounded more like Randy Newman was my pilot, actually.
Did you see that video of...
going, you down to the ground.
Yeah, did you see that video today where it's like, the guys jumped, my co-pilot jumped out the back of the plane.
I have not seen that one.
No. I mean, obviously, I did that voice for whatever, but there was this plane that was approaching for landing, and the co-pilot just jumped out of the back of the plane, and like the traffic controller team, like they couldn't comprehend,
like,
as this guy's being like, "Yeah, my co-pilot just jumped out," and they're like, "What? Do you want to like circle around a little bit?
Lost every
till he gets back."
Until he gets back?
No, he jumped out of the plane. He jumped out the back. Dude, the Twin Towers, cell phones that somehow felt too early, but also like not at this. It was 97, and also these cell phones were like not these massive things that my brain is telling me that they should have been.
No, I remember. There was about the StarTAC. The phone Motorola is still StarTAC. Huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the StarTAC was... I think this is still a little pre-StarTAC. They had, like, the bigger Nokia style. It's not Zach Morris style anymore, though.
No. They're small enough to be a little weird.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. There was that weird era, for sure, where, like, cell phones got as small as they could. You remember that?
Yes. I sold cell phones.
Okay.
For a long time.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit
people figured out
weird.
You could watch porn on them, and then the screens just got bigger and bigger.
Wild, right? They're
That's
like,
so
oh,
weird
pocket PC?
Huh? pornography. What? I'm going to need a bigger screen over here, Jim. That's all Steve Jobs was doing. He was cranking it with one hand. He's like, no, bigger screen. Got to be bigger. Got to be bigger.
Oh, my God.
What a genius.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dude, this movie was a capsule of its time. So, yeah man. It's, you know, there's the little love story between Richard's daughter, Karen, and Mimi Siku. I thought Charlotte, the fiance, kind of being stuck in the penthouse with Maitika was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
you also felt like she deserved it because she was a real jerk.
Yeah. Pretty much any scene with Maitika, like when Tim Allen's character, Michael with a C, is first exposed to Maitika on the beach.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there, he's like, he's running, he's trying to kill it, while like Mimi Siku's just like staring at him, being like, okay, well, stop yelling, maybe, I don't know. That was the fakest, funniest looking spider.
That's what I love too.
I've ever seen. And it was, yeah. I loved it.
It looks so garbage, but it looks so fun and cute. I didn't even care. I was laughing, as you should be in that scene. It is just a dumb, ridiculous spider.
Yeah.
Our buddy Jeff Miners, really active on the page today, had a couple things to say about this movie.
Oh, really? I didn't see that you put up a post. Go on.
How did we get onto it, actually? Because I didn't put one on either. Or did I?
I don't see it.
Oh, no, it was on the Little Giants one. But he said, okay. He just came back today and he says, also good pick for next episode. I watched that movie a lot. And so I told him, hey, we're recording in a few hours. Any thoughts about it? And he says that the David Ogden Steers, the guy who plays the big Russian boss.
Yes.
Is the voice of Jumba Jokima from the Lilo and Stitch movie, which he calls the best Disney movie. But that's the big bounty hunter guy. You totally hear it, too.
Wow. And,
I just told him that I consider Lilo and Stitch probably my number two. I think Emperor's New Groove is my number one. And he said, that's also a great choice.
Huh. Interesting. But yeah,
just a little, other people have seen Jungle to Jungle and also watched it a lot as youngsters.
That's fantastic. So. I remember loving this as a child. I definitely saw it multiple times. It was my least favorite out of all of the movies this month.
That's hilarious because I got to be honest, this was probably my favorite that we've watched this week.
Really?
Yeah. I'm amazing. A sucker for Tim Allen. And probably also if Chevy Chase had done more of the physical comedy in the other one, I probably would liked it more. But I liked the jumbled fight scene with the whole family. I thought that big climax was better than Man of the House when the other people just show up with bows and arrows too. Sure. It was a little more exciting, a little more rambunctious, a little more action-packed overall. Yeah, but like I said, I like Tim Allen and Chevy Chase. I just think Tim Allen was funnier in this, whereas Chevy Chase was more of a straight man.
I do. When I say that this is my least favorite out of all the movies, I'm not saying that it's a bad movie.
Sure, of course, yeah.
At all. Like, I still very much so enjoyed it. And when I said it's an hour and 45 minutes, and like, it's not like I really felt it. There was just, man, I dealt with so much work stuff while trying to watch this movie. So every time I paused it, I was like, holy fuck, we're only halfway through this movie?
That's funny, because I kind of did the same thing. It does feel a little bloat, especially the worst part is that this movie takes place in three main locations, but it's not called Jungle to Jungle to Farmhouse. but yeah, there's the South American jungle, and then there's New York City, the concrete jungle, which, by the way, also we didn't comment, but he walks around fucking New York barefoot. Ain't no parent nowhere ever letting their fucking kid walk around New York fucking city barefoot.
Nah.
Don't give a shit what jungle he comes from.
Put in some feety loincloths.
It doesn't even matter. But yeah, And then, like, the whole third act of this movie takes place at the farmhouse, where it's all set up so they can have, like, the little preteen fall-in-love thing for the girls that get sucked and dragged to this movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Overall, I still, yeah, I liked it a lot. It was a good time. I'm interested to see, historically, as a kid, I fucking loved Mighty Ducks, which is where we're going next week.
Yes.
And curious to see how that holds up. Fucking Emilio Estevez rules in that movie.
I cannot wait to watch that movie. I'm going to jump the shark here, and I'm going to prepare us so that we know. So one of the times that I paused it was when what the fuck was the kid's name?
Mimisiku.
Mimisiku was climbing the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And gets up onto the top. It's actually the title card for this show. If you guys want to check out how weird it is to see somebody sitting on top of Statue of Liberty with the Twin Towers behind him. Mm-hmm. That was like 58 minutes into this movie.
Yeah.
Over halfway through this movie. And that's him only being in New York City for like 2 days.
Yeah, like maybe 20 minutes of the movie at that point, if that.
Tops.
Yeah.
Tops. It's crazy. So, Mighty Ducks is also an hour and 44 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that makes about sense for a kid's movie in the 90s. Especially with action. With physical people, they can push it a little longer. Your animated fare is going to be a pretty hard 90 because that's so much fucking work to get to that point even. A lot of them push it at 88.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, you want to do some rankings?
Yep.
Do you have yours?
Sure.
Okay.
Kyle.
Yeah.
You are, what would you be? You can't be Mimisiku. Give yourself a name.
Oh, shit.
Name yourself.
Fuck. Rat boner.
Rat motor?
Boner.
Rat boner, which we all know means big fuzzy bear in that native tongue. Rat boner. Rat over boner. Yeah. Uh-huh. He goes from, has you, rat boner, have gone from jungle to, well, farmhouse, where you walk in and you see this big fish tank full of prized fish. There's a prized collection. There's 12 fish in there. But it turns out Rat Boner is a hungry boy and decides that he needs to cook up some fish. So Kyle, on a scale of 1 to 12, I'm sorry. So Rat Boner, on a scale of 1 to 12, fishy fish, omnoms, how many are you cooking over a flame out in that yard?
Out of 12, I'm going to do 9.
Okay.
Again, I don't think this movie's perfect, but I think it's a perfectly fine, serviceable movie. It's not. The nice thing that I have liked about these kids' movies is that, as derogatory as this will sound, you can kind of turn your brain off. It's got to. You can follow the story. Not to say that they're cliche, even though they do sort of all have the same sort of framework. They don't have you go into a South American jungle in all of them. So it's cool. I like when things take the formula and mix it up with whatever different variants. It's a fun, enjoyable kids movie. I actually laughed a lot watching this movie, like legitimately had a good time watching it.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it, but there it is, man. So yeah, I'm gonna give it 9.
Nice.
Shawnee boy.
Yo.
If you,
Rat Boner,
had just discovered that you were the bastard son of a 13-year-old boy who had grown up in a native tribe.
Okay. And
you had access to his blow dart gun with a sleeping dart.
Yeah.
And you shot yourself in the foot on accident and you passed out. Would you be unconscious for between 1 to 10 hours, with 10 hours being the best sleep you've ever had. So pretty good.
Okay. You say accidentally as if I'm not just like fucking drugging myself every couple of hours, man. Wake up, get just enough human interaction, and fucking I'm out of here.
All right, I'm out of here, peeps.
Man, I don't know. Maybe it isn't my least favorite. I think maybe that's just a bad way of describing it, because you're right. You can just turn your brain off. Unless you're me today, who like literally had to keep pausing every 5 minutes to deal with something. But the movie is enjoyable. You see literally everything coming. All of the story beats are coming, all the way to when he smokes somebody with the blow dart gun. You know, he finally gets the fly. Like, you see that coming from the first time that he tries to shoot it. But like you, I did have a lot of really good laugh out loud moments in the movie that made me smile. I loved all of the actors in this movie. I actually paused it and turned to Sarah, and I was like, I don't think really anybody knows this, but I had a crush on Lily Sobieski when I was little. Really? And it wasn't obviously because of this movie, but when she appeared on the screen, I was like, who is that? It tickled something in the back of my brain. And I think it was when she was in Glass House in like the early 2000s. I was like a fresh teenager. And I was like, oh my God, she is so fucking hot.
It was funny because I just noticed she was still young. She had the big ears at this age in the movie. And I was like, oh man, poor kid. She didn't grow into them yet.
So yeah, the actors were great. It's a good movie. I will give it, oh man, how many times am I blow darting myself? I'll probably blow dart myself like for 7 really good sleeps. And then I think I'll like miss just partially with one and just have a really shitty sleep, but it's still like a 7.5.
Okay. Okay.
I'll give it. Yeah.
7.5. All right, buddy.
7.5, and y'all learned about my Lily Sobieski crush in high school for free.
We're all better for it.
For free!
For free 99, y'all. Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, so Mighty Ducks next week. Until then, Dave, I mean, Shawnee boy, I love you,
that's
pal.
That's twice. That's twice. Two times.
The two!
Two! Go to yourself.
It is okay. Easily. Shawnee boy, would you rather discover that you have a bastard child, or would you rather never know?
Wow. I feel like for something that's going on the air for people to hear and have record of, there's only one way. You're a dick.
I didn't even think of that. I just thought it was like,
I'm just kidding. Of course it's the learning about my bastard.
Really? I don't know. If you never know, is the heart... Does the pain ever really happen?
I mean, I think it's one of those, like, I would like to know about it, but whether or not the person wants me to be in their life is completely up to them. Like, I wouldn't ever force that on somebody.
Sure, man. That's a really kind, warm-hearted answer. Kids. Yeah, true. We hope, both of us. Fingers
for
crossed,
for everybody's sake.
Jungle to Jungle could happen for real. Probably not, man. Probably not, but you never know. Anyways, I love you, buddy.